Cumberland County hires a new head coach. DeKalb County finds a new source of offense from a freshman phenom. And the Stone Memorial girls and Upperman boys prepare for another run at a state title. Like many other teams, the Cumberland County Lady Jets have a new head coach in Tyler McWilliams. And while the job of coaching at any team may be daunting, McWilliams says he's just excited to be back on the court.
Well, you know, it's great to get back on the floor, I'm new this year. We've got a new coaching staff. So we really missed out on an opportunity to have summer camp and really get to know what kind of style we want to play, and the girls get used to me as their coach. And so it's we're grateful to be back on the floor, but then there are some extra challenges that I've faced after this long layoff due to COVID-19.
What are some of those challenges you face, Coach? I know that COVID-19 has made everything different this year. What are some of the biggest challenges for you as a first-year head coach?
We got a new coaching staff, so everything that they're learning is brand new. And typically in basketball season, you get the summer to play some scrimmage games against other teams, and you can kind of see what your team's got, what kind of pieces you need to fill, what kind of style you want to play. And so we didn't really get an opportunity to do that. So last week when we started practice, we kind of just started from scratch, and we're going to have, you know, 12 to 13 practices under our belt before we start our first game.
It's got to feel good getting back to actual basketball-related activities, though, as opposed to just straight-up conditioning, just straight running, though. Right, Coach?
Yes. You know, in July when I first got here, we couldn't do anything due to COVID. So, really, once school starts, you can't really do any practicing anyway. So, we've been conditioning and lifting weights and all that stuff in our three-man workouts, but it's just not the same as getting on the floor, working on your team stuff. And it's been great. You know, our kids are excited about what we're doing. We're excited about what we're doing. It's going to take us a little bit to build our system and to build our culture here, and we're just going to try to take it game by game and control what we can control this year. And if we do that, we're going to have a good season.
When you were first hired, you told me that everyone said this was a great group of girls. Now that you've had some time to assess them and kind of look at their game piece by piece, what are your thoughts about the group that you've got?
It's great. We've got a lot of pieces. We can do a lot of different things. We've got a good mixture of young kids who are ready to make an impact on our group, and we've got some veterans who have came back and they're ready to lead a team this season. So I like where we're at right now.
What is this group's best trait? What is it that makes this team unique?
I feel like our best trait is we've got so many different choices we can do. We can be big and tall when we need to. We've got great outside shooters. We've got a little bit of an inside game. We've got quick athletic guards who can pressure the ball, but we can also protect the rim at the same time. So there's just so many different kids. And what makes this team so unique is, you know, every kid that I dress out, I'm not afraid to put in the game at any point. They all have something that they can bring to the table, and I'm excited for everybody to see that.
When you look at how the Upperman teams you helped coach played, what are some of the aspects of how things were run and how that program operated that you plan on implementing in Crossville?
The main thing for me is, you know, off the court, I just want to get my team to love each other, play for each other. I want us to build a culture that everybody wants to be a part of. And it's been a process since I've got here, and I think that's the biggest step for this team to take. And they've really focused in on that. And that's one of the things that made us so successful at Upperman is people were willing to do whatever it took in order to win, whether it was playing just a few minutes, whether it was, you know, cheering their teammates on or taking the final shot. Everybody bought into their role, buys into their role there, and I'm just trying to add that piece to CCHS.
That was Cumberland County Lady Jets head coach Tyler McWilliams. Coach, thanks for being with us.
After making it to the region tournament last year and only losing two seniors, the Stone Memorial Panthers are ready for a big season in Crossville in 2020. Joining us now is Panthers head coach Neil Capps. Coach, first off, how does it feel to actually be back on the court, playing games that count, and working with the guys?
We're elated. We're very excited to get the opportunity to be back out there coaching and playing and getting to play games. You know, we've told the kids it's been around 8 months since we were allowed to compete against another team, missing all summer and missing all the preseason scrimmages. We are really excited to be back out there and just looking forward to whatever the season brings. You know, beggars can't be choosers. You know, the alternative is we don't get to play. So we're really excited for whatever we're going to have to go through this year. And that's the thing I've told the guys is make sure your calendar and you are flexible this year, because there's going to be times when you may get to play this day and then have to cancel this day and reschedule this day, and of course everybody's doing it, so it's something we all have to endure and the hoops we have to jump through, but we're looking forward to it.
When you look at your current group of players, what excites you most about this team?
Our depth. We got good depth. You know, we've got six seniors coming back, all seniors that have had played big minutes for us at certain points last year. They played in those crucial moments. You know, we've got guys that our multiple-year starters. We've got guys that are one-year starters. We've got guys that, you know, were six-man last year. They've got, guys that are in new roles where they were not starting and now they're starting. But our experience is what we're really excited about. We got some really veteran guys that we're just absolutely excited about. And we got some young guys that we're going to have to try to mesh in, obviously. And that's part of it, and we're looking forward to it. You know, that's any coach. That's any coach, any program. It's the same thing every year. You're going to have to work the puzzle out, figure the puzzle out, and the team that does the best job at that, the team's going to have the best success.
Let's talk about some of these players. First, point guard Caleb McCoy. What's his best attribute as a point guard?
Caleb is eager. He's got a high basketball IQ, and he's eager to get back out there. You got to understand, Caleb's missed the last two seasons, really, just with injuries and dealing with bad shin splints and shin problems. And I felt terrible for him the last 2 years, just struggling. But you know, we shut him down last December, and then the COVID hit. So he's basically had several months in a row where he could just rest those shins. And anybody that's been in sports long enough knows that the only cure for shin splints is rest. And he was able to get it, you know. And so he's excited, and we're excited about him to come back, and his knowledge and his just willingness to play the game the right way. And he works at his game. He puts a lot of time in. He meets me up at the gym early in the mornings during the school year. He's just eager. He wants to play. He wants to get back out there, and I'm looking forward to what he brings us this year.
Another guy I've looked at is Jackson Eldridge, and he's a guy that last year when he was on the floor, it just felt like positive things were happening. It may not always show up in the box score. He might not average 25 points a game, but it feels like it's always important to have a guy that has the intangibles he has.
No question. Jack's a 4-year starter for us. He'll start this year, and he'll be a 4-year starter. He's a high IQ guy. He's a high energy guy. And you're right, Jack has had games where he has scored 15, 16, 17 points, and he's had games where he's had 2 points and 9 rebounds, 5 assists. Jack is a Swiss Army knife for us. He does a lot of different things. He has the ability to do a lot of different things. Defensively, he gives us a lot of versatility. Jack can guard a 1 through a 5. He'll match up against a big dude and battle him. He'll go up against a guard. And he's a good rebounder. He can push the ball up the floor and transition offensively. He don't care at times to run the one and get us into a set. He's versatile. We're very appreciative of everything that he brings to the table. We ask him to do a lot. There's times that we ask him to do too much, matter of fact. He plays a lot of minutes.
That's Stone Memorial boys basketball head coach Neil Capps.
It's been a great start to the season for the Warren County Lady Pioneers, and despite a loss to DeKalb County, head coach Anthony Lippi is excited about where this team is headed.
Yeah, we had a tough one last night. Of course, that one definitely stung quite a bit, but we're playing hard. Last year was definitely a year that we were trying to develop. We had six seniors that graduated when I had taken over, and they were 9 and 19 the year before. So we had a really tough schedule ahead of us, and so we took a lot of lumps for sure. But we come out this year, they've got a little bit of confidence. They've been in the system for a year, so they sort of know what the expectations are, and come out and win two games and lost a heartbreaker last night. So we're just looking to continue and get back on the right track tonight against Canyon County.
I know everybody kind of looks at years like last year and they think, man, it's a waste of a year. But I know in terms of developing, playing against tough competition like you guys do, it may, be tough to lose in the meantime, but it does a lot in terms of developing and growth, right?
Right, absolutely. I mean, those girls, they know. I mean, when you're playing the Uppermans, the Tullahomas, the Pickett Counties, of course, our district is extremely tough night in, night out. We've got Sparta, Cookeville, Stone, and last year Ray with all district player. It was every single night. You're getting the best competition in the mid state, and so it definitely opened our eyes. It showed if they wanted to compete at that level, what it takes. And so yeah, it was tough taking those lumps, but I feel like it's helped us early on in this year.
Let's talk about defensive pressure, because I think that anybody that watches this team play, especially these first couple of games, it seems like these girls are really committed to the defensive end of the floor.
Absolutely. And that's the, I tell them they're just meeting expectations. That's what we want to see as a staff. That's what we, demand out of our players. And if there's a loose ball, someone needs to be on the floor. If there's someone with the ball, we expect a lot of ball pressure, and when you do things like that, it makes it harder for other teams to feed the post and those types of things. And so those are expectations. We have girls that are hungry. I mean, we've got some scrappers, and we're still young. I mean, a lot of our girls are freshmen, sophomores, and we have some a couple senior posts and some junior in the post as well, but. These girls want to see Warren County basketball turned around, and that's what we're trying to do.
I think it also goes without saying on the defensive end that if you're going to pressure, like I've seen this team do through three games, you've got to be able to do that without fouling, and it seems like they've been able to do that thus far.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that's a constant battle for us. We have girls that, especially younger ones, that have a lot of athleticism, and as a coach, you want to give a kid, some of that confidence by, letting them get out in the passing lanes and do those athletic things. But you also have to, sort of maintain the understanding of this is fundamentally what we need to do and in the right position to be able to do it in. And so we struggle with that, but so far we've been okay. We've had a few games here early on where, a key guard for us has gotten too early. But we've been able to manage so far.
We've mentioned a lot about last year being a developing year, obviously. Where do you think from the end of last year to now, where do you think this team has grown the most in when you look at them?
We have a lot of the same. We mainly lost one particular girl in Beth Vaughn as a senior last year that really played a lot of minutes. But all the others are coming back, and you're starting to see some of them are getting a whole lot of more playing time this year, like Mia Hobbs and Kyra Perkins, and they're sophomores for us. You're seeing that we're able to put a little bit more athleticism on the floor. We're a little bit quicker. We also have our freshman. She's a point guard, / shooting guard. We kind of rotate her, but. Sable Winfrey, adds some athleticism as well for us. And so I think we're quicker. We're not as experienced, but I think we can do a little bit more as far as our athleticism being on the floor.
Warren County girls basketball coach Anthony Lippi. The start of the basketball season means the start of practices. And while Monterey boys basketball head coach Adam West says it's been a grind, he also says that his team is super appreciative for the fact that they get to play their season to begin with.
Well, it's exciting. It's kind of the grind at this point, but you know what's more exciting is that we have potential to get to play again, and that's what we've been looking forward to.
Did you ever think back when everything was locked down back in March and April, did you ever think we'd be at this point?
You know what? I really thought we'd get a chance to play the state tournament, and that would be, you know, just kind of a since it was so early in the pandemic. But as we've gone through it in the process, and obviously the numbers have changed, I'm not sure what to expect. 2020 has been the year of I'm not sure what to expect. So, yeah, we're just trying to prepare for a moving target, I think, at this point.
Does that kind of help to teach the lesson to your guys of just kind of always being flexible and understanding that anything is subject to change?
Definitely. I mean, it's something that we've obviously had to deal with a lot. Not, you know, as a coach and teams, they always have to reschedule games anyway. So there has to be a certain flexibility. I know a few years ago we changed the game from one night to the next, and obviously that made it difficult for our future schedule. So, you know, you just got to kind of roll with the punches, and hopefully I think the teams that are the most prepared and the most developed fundamentally will be the ones that come out smelling a little better than the other ones.
So what are some of the first impressions from practice last week? I know that there's probably a little bit of rust that has to be knocked off in terms of just basketball practice, but what are some of the things you're seeing?
Well, we're getting better. I mean, our first day of practice was a little bit rough around the edges, definitely, because, you know, we're not allowed to do anything, and we weren't allowed to do anything forever. So just when we started opening the gym back, you know, early, letting kids get in, work out, and just get some shots up and things like that, we weren't allowed to coach. So the first day of me coaching, I'm sure a couple of my kids probably walked out and said, boy, that guy turned from Jekyll to Hyde. And so we definitely had to work hard, and we've got a lot ahead of us. But, you know, we also have several football guys that were kind of, you know, excited about their opportunity this week. And obviously the big win they had last week as well. So when we get those guys back, it'll kind of change the way our practices look. Probably bring the level of competitiveness up, which is what we would like to have.
When you have kids that play football as well, do you ever kind of – does it make watching the games as a coach a little bit more anxious on Fridays when, you know, you're kind of hoping like, yeah, you want them to play hard, you want them to go off, but you don't want them to get hurt?
I definitely feel that way, and I'm sure every sport that follows another sport feels the same way. You know, I just think that's, you know, your mindset a little bit, especially if that kid's a really – a big key, but I don't know that we feel that way about our athletes for basketball. I go to a football game and I look at every kid on the field, and I used to coach football, so I hope that nobody gets hurt, and I hope it's a great game, and I hope everybody plays at the highest level possible. And so for us, we kind of, you know, I mean, I'm not saying we don't say, well, if that kid gets hurt, we got to rethink what we do, because we've had that happen. We've had kids who came to basketball that ended up getting injured, you know, in a season-ending injury. In football, and I'm sure we've had some that kind of went on down the road for the other sports, but you just have to make accommodations. That could happen in your season. That doesn't necessarily have to happen in football.
Looking at this current year, who are some players you're expecting to step up from last year that maybe didn't get necessarily the main spotlight, but they're going to have that spotlight on them this year?
Well, you know, we lost a lot of guys. Obviously, everybody knows that. But we've got Silas Randolph returning, Tucker Phillips, Caden Jones. All those guys are returning guys. They got significant minutes. We got another kid that played some down the stretch that we saw here and there that I think will be a big asset for us is Latarian Sullivan. And so, you know, we got all those four coming back, and then we got some guys that we've kind of blended in from our JV. So we really have to work on some stuff as far as creating our own depth. But those guys right there have the experience to play well. They have the leadership to play well for this bunch and to really lead this team into the next phase of our program because, you know, we've gone through this multiple times where we've had like five or six seniors, and that's part of keeping a lot of kids. We do keep a lot of kids in our program just to develop them, and it's been beneficial for us. So those are the kids I expect at this point, and hopefully we'll get some of these other kids to work their way into the lineup and give us good quality minutes. And they're really putting in the time to get better. So,
again, that is Monterey boys basketball head coach Adam West. Coach, thank you for being with us tonight. Livingston Academy girls basketball head coach Leslie Riddle called her team in 2019 the first really young team she's ever had to coach. Now with most of those players returning in 2020, she couldn't be more excited for the year ahead.
Oh, it's a thrill. I mean, just, you know, we were worried every week for football to be canceled and just waiting for somebody to say, you know, you can't play basketball. And these kids have been working so, so hard. So that would have been a true disappointment. Of course, at this point, we're just lucky to play one more. So, because you never know what's going to happen. So we're feeling very fortunate to be in the gym.
This served to teach kind of a lesson of appreciation, because I know no high school kids love going to practice, but does it teach a level of appreciation that, you know, you need to appreciate every day you get to play your sport?
I mean, you can't tell about teenagers sometimes, but I think they do, and I think they appreciate having the time to be with you, people that are working hard to do the same thing, and they certainly have worked hard. I mean, in the summer when you could do just your skill work and couldn't pass and couldn't defend and any of that, they worked really hard on skills and things like that. And you know, we had the gym open a lot, and some of them were here every single time the doors were open. So I think the opportunity, and hopefully there will be some positive things come out of this. And I think you've hit one of them on the head, and just to appreciate the opportunities you have and health and good friends and hard work.
You mentioned a lot last year that it was one of the first a lot of youth on the team. From last year to now, how much have these girls matured as basketball players?
I'm not sure I can quantify it, but the mental toughness, the mental strength that they have compared to last year is just totally different. It's a different mindset of a confidence and kind of an air of we've been there before, and I trust you now, you trust me now. Just a different framework attitude, and hopefully that'll carry through.
One challenge that faces like every other team in this district is the District 8AA is just a gauntlet. There's so many talented players and so much in it. I feel like when I look around at it, it all starts with the coaches, because when you look at this league, I feel like these are some of the best coaches in the state of Tennessee.
Oh, I do. I definitely do, and I think they're in this area. I don't think it's just 8AA. I think it's in every division, you know, single A, double A, triple A. And I remember a lot of years ago when a Farragut and came to Livingston and started coaching here, realized was I'm going to have to coach a whole lot harder because the other coaches are. And I learned, you know, from all the other coaches around and how they scheme and how, you know, every single play has to be done, you know, exactly right. And you have to, they're expected kids, and the scouting reports are different, and the player development is different in this area. So, you know, if you're not learning, you know, every single year, you're going to find out there are a lot of great coaches in this area, and up and work as hard as they do, you're going to get there pretty much.
I think everybody that watches this team knows by now that Haley Cronk is that do-it-all player, you know. And I believe in an interview last year, I think you even called her that when we talked last year. You know, she's a great shooter. She handles the ball really well, and she passes it very well for a post player. What do you think the strength game is?
Right now it's leadership. She's taking on that senior role as a starter and trying to be that leader. She hasn't played as well, honestly, as she had, and I was, but it's leadership, and she's been the first one in the gym every day, the last one to leave every day. But you're right. Probably her shooting is probably her best asset, and just the knowing the game. But right now, like I said, she's not been playing well, so we've got to get her confidence back up.
DeKalb County Lady Tigers head coach Danny Fish wasn't sure where his offense was going to come from before the season started. Now, with a couple big games from both Katie Farrell and Ella Van Vranken, he knows part of the answer to that question, though he still says he's looking for more.
Yeah, I mean, we've had pretty good offensive production, you know, from, of course, Katie Farrell. She's been, you know, kind of herself and, you know, redefining her role as a junior and a leader on the floor. And, you know, our freshman, Ella Van Vranken, man, she's been, you know, probably a little bit better than I thought that she might be at this point in early in her freshman career. And, you know, she's really done a lot for us in her first couple of games. I'm excited to see how she grows in the future. And, you know, Megan Cantrell and Madison Martin starting to come on. And Katie Griffith had a really good game at Warren County. So, I mean, we're starting to see some other kids step up and not rely on so much of those other two in the point scoring column. And, you know, I'm hoping that our role players can kick in some points here and there, but more so some boards and stuff like that, fill up those other columns. And, I like where we're at right now. Still a lot of season to play and still very young, and, you know, hopefully we'll just continue to improve.
When you mentioned Ella, the thing that sticks out the most about her to me is this, is that she looks like a freshman when she's on the court, but she doesn't play like one at all. She doesn't – normally when you see freshmen, you see this kind of fear almost, that they don't want to mess up, they're worried they're going to get taken out if they make a mistake. It seems like she plays with no fear, and I feel like that's the key to her success.
Well, I mean, you know, she's played a lot of basketball. You know, she's been, you know, quite gifted, you know, for the past couple of years. You know, she got a lot of time in middle school, you know, playing under Coach Josh Agee there at the Cab Middle, who also coaches, you know, one of the Tennessee Rush teams. So, you know, she's gotten to play a lot of minutes, and I think, you know, more anxious. I know that when we went to Pickett the other night, she was kind of anxious. I think it's more so, you know, being there in that situation for the first time with us. I mean, she plays at AU in the summertime. She plays with the Nike Flight Group, and you know, they're kind of all over the Southeast, and, you know, they play a lot of ball. So she's very seasoned for, you know, a 14-year-old, I guess, if you want to talk about it like that. But I'm sure she gets a little antsy and gets a little nervous. I think the biggest adjustment that she's going to have to make is not being, you know, a secondary player. You know, we got her playing the point for us. You know, I'm pretty tough on the point guards because I want them to manage the game on the floor, but I want them to manage it the way they manage it. So getting her and I on the same page, learning to go through those struggles of not knowing and then going close, I think will really help her in the future. And hopefully we can, you know, win some games because of it.
You know, these first couple of games have really reinforced that it was something that I thought of last year when I saw this team play, and it's just reinforced even more this year. Katie Farrell might be one of the biggest offenses or matchup nightmares in the Upper Cumberland because she shoots the ball well for someone that plays in the post, mm-hmm. and she can take just about any post player off the dribble.
Yeah.
What is the strongest aspect of her game, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, you know, her physical, man, I mean, she's tough. You know, that's the biggest thing is that, you know, we don't sub her very much either, you know, and she constantly, you've been at multiple games, she's playing all the time down there, down low, and even on the perimeter, and then they're shooting two guys at her, and, you know, she's just unbelievable tough, and, you know, the biggest thing for me, Rusty, is that we've started to develop her leadership skills, and she's starting to implement some strategies that we've, you know, created for her in the past, and, you know, to follow her and listen to her, which is really good, you know, because she gives all kinds of effort and she's always there and, you know, which makes her, you know, a better representation to follow. And her toughness is probably her best attribute for me, coaching her for 3 years now. Don't get me wrong, all the rest of them are really good. but I think that that's what sets her apart from some that may have the same skill set as she has.
And when you look at girls like Madison Martin, like Megan Cantrell, the ball, that really opens up the floor, and it keeps teams from collapsing on Katie as well.
Yeah, man. I mean, we got to knock down the three, you know, or at least some perimeter jumpers to keep people honest. I mean, last night against Red Bowling and in the first half, I mean, it was like you said, we had a plan and worked the ball for that plan, and, you know, she eventually would get a steal in position, and she had a great first half last night.
DeKalb County Lady Tigers head coach, Danny Fish. The Cookeville Cavaliers are faced with replacing 8 seniors from last year's squad. And while that may be a daunting task for any head coach, second-year head man Josh Hurd says he's been really excited just to get back to work with his guys.
Well, it's been very exciting, you know, that God has opened this window up for us. We just want to make sure we take advantage of it. And, you know, I've mentioned to my boys, that we need to practice every day and play every day, just like it could be our last day playing. And it goes back, you know, to our COVID situation. So feel very blessed that we're able to do it. I know the boys are extremely happy. Hopefully, you know, it just, you know, stays clear for us that we can finish out the season.
Did you think back when everything was locked down in March and April, did you ever think we'd get to this point?
I did. I mean, things come and go all the time. And I knew with time, things would change, ideas would change, thought processes would change, and, you know, we would be allowed to go back to our, you know, day-to-day living. So the tough part was just making sure that, you know, me as a coach and the kids as players just made sure they stayed in tune with their mind and their body, you know, with basketball coming up. So That was a tough thing, but I always knew that we would get back to playing.
Going into your second year at the helm of Cookeville, what area of coaching do you think you've grown the most in from the start of the last season to now?
Well, just little ins and outs about defensive schemes and things like that. I'm more in tune now with how each and every possession counts. You can go back, you can track a win or a loss if you go back just to one possession that may have caused a turnover or caused a 5-point run or a 6-point run here or caused a point where someone was out of position and someone picked up the third foul and had to miss the remaining three minutes of a game. So just things like that, I'm just more in tune with each possession of each game now.
I know one of the challenges facing you this year is the fact that you're going to have a very young team after how big last year's graduating class was. How have those younger players looked in practice so far?
Well, they look very, very well. I mean, they're coming in confident. They know they have a skill set, and they actually use it every single day in practice. So it doesn't matter if they're going against seniors or sophomores or juniors. They just come in eager to play. And, I think that moxie and that attitude was something that we just didn't have last year with our younger kids. And, it's tough. We've been practicing, almost 2 weeks now. We were going a week and a half until we got some, terrible news from the TSSAA that I'm still very upset with and don't agree with, that sideline our senior point guard and ultimately took away his senior season of basketball. So that transition hurt, where you've been practicing this whole time, just knowing that he was going to be able to play and then a terrible decision comes down and just killed his playing career. So we're adapting to that as well, but I'm confident that, our players are going to play hard and get after it. I know they're going to make mistakes because they're freshmen. There are going to be things that happen in this first game that they've never had happen, in their basketball career. So, we'll take one game at a time and just hopefully these kids can learn fast and be ready to go come district time.
I think a lot of people look at having a younger team as a negative, but when I look at it, I think it also serves as a chance for the coach in charge to help build that desired culture you want for a program. Is that something you're looking at as this is a chance for you to instill the values and the culture that you want to build at Cookeville?
You're exactly right. You're absolutely correct on that. And, I understand that, the first year could be a learning season for us, but ultimately, the nature of basketball and the attitude that these young guys are going to be bringing in is exactly what Cookeville basketball will need to be from here on out. And they understand that. They come in working knowing that, their position, their playing time could be taken at any time. And one of the biggest things that I wanted to instill in this program is that, nothing is taken for granted and you're not going to be given anything. You have to earn every single thing that you get with boys basketball at Cookeville from here on out. And I think that state of mind is starting to come into focus for parents and players.
Cookeville Cavaliers head coach, Josh Hurd. The Clay County Bulldogs are getting set to defend their 2019 district title in the new year. And while they may have a target on their back from some teams in the district, head coach Rob Edwards says he's just happy to be playing the game of basketball again.
Well, it's been great. It's just, we're pretty shorthanded right now because of football, still in the playoffs. But we're managing to do the best we can with what we have right now.
So has the focus in practice mainly been at this point, since you don't have everybody, just kind of knocking that rust off of the guys that you do have and kind of getting them back into basketball shape?
Yeah, it's been primarily conditioned to this point. We've done a little bit of scheming and that sort of type thing, but as far as running set plays and baseline of bounds, we're just waiting for football to get back.
How hungry do you think this team is going to be when you have everybody together to kind of pick up where last year left off?
Yeah, I think my guys are really anxious to get started and anxious to see how the season plays out. Feel like they got shorted or cheated a little bit at the end of the year, but that's something that we had no control over. Mm-hmm. And I just think we're ready to go.
Do you find yourself surprised that we made it to this point? Did you ever think back in March and April that we'd be preparing for the season to start on time?
Uh, you know, I'm not a medical person. I can't really say. I had hoped, like everybody else, I'd been hoping that we'd be able to start on time. But I really I didn't really get my hopes up too high, and I didn't get too low about it either. So I just kind of tried to stay steady and see what happened.
I know that you do have one tough task on this team in replacing two key cogs from last year in Mason Sharp and Jake Ashlock. And I think while most people may look at that and say, well, you're only replacing two players, I know they were so much more than just two players for your team last year.
Well, that's true. Jake and Mason both played huge roles on both ends of the floor and even in practice and in the locker room. It's always tough to replace those leadership traits, but we got one senior this year in Gunnar Silk, and I think he's going to do a good job of being a good leader and setting good examples every day in practice. And you know, it's going to take some time.
I've often heard coaches say that when you lose key players like that, when they graduate, you don't really replace them. You more or less adapt to playing without them. You build your team around what you have, and you don't really worry about what you lost with them. Do you find that to be true?
I do, for the most part. Of course, you know, Jake being a post presence, I think, you know, he does have to be replaced. You know, we're going to be pretty deep at the guard spots. We have a couple guys that are hoping to fill that post position, and, you know, but none of them are Jake right now. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, as the season progresses, some of them are going to get better, and they're going to fill in the spot that he left vacant.
When you look around at this district, I think that there's obviously a wide consensus that you guys are going to be right there at the top with Pickett County competing for the district title. But I feel like this is a district I look at that is really open kind of beyond that. It feels like any team from that 3-7 range could show up on any given night and really beat anybody in this district. What's the key to actually, you know, following through with what you guys are going to set out to do this year to win the district and to make another run to possibly getting to state again?
Well, the first thing we have to do is we have to figure out who's going to fill those spots that Mason and Jake left open. You know, who's going to be consistent night in and night out? Who's going to make shots for us? Who's going to rebound for us? And who can we count on defensively at the end of the game like we did Jake and Mason? Beyond that, we've got to develop some consistency, and I've got to have some of these younger guys that didn't play a whole lot last year are going to get more minutes. Now, because we didn't get to play over the summer, we didn't get to go to camps, it's going to take a while to figure that out. But the good news is, it's going to take a while for everybody else to figure that out, too.
That was Clay County boys basketball head coach Rob Edwards. Coach, thank you for joining us.